Good morning, church. How you guys doing? Doing well? All right, cool. Hey, if you guys don't know me, my name is Pastor Anthony. I don't attend this church here. My wife and I attend a church in Modesto right now. But Pastor Greg has graciously invited me to come and speak. And I don't want to move quickly past what just happened in worship, man. How good was that worship? Wasn't it amazing? It's so good. I was up here in the front row, and as I was worshiping the Lord, oh man, I can't believe God lets us do that. Do you like think about that? Like what a miracle it was that we just stepped into the presence of the living God. How amazing is that? That God would allow us to do that. How good is that? I mean, think about the miracle that had to have happened in order for us to step into the unhindered presence of God. Think about that. Jesus came down out of heaven. He died on the cross. He tore the veil so that we could come into the presence of God. But so casually, we come in every single week. We come in, we got our coffee, we're relaxed and we're chilling. And we're not ready to experience the presence of God like we just experienced here. But every single time we step into the presence of Jesus, it's a miracle. It is a miracle. God moved heaven on our behalf so that we could come into His presence. And so I just want you to hear this. That if you missed it, or if you're coming into church casually and you missed it, man, there's something incredible that's here when we worship the Lord. Amen? And we just experience some incredible anointing and really encounter the presence of God in an amazing way. And so I don't want to move past that. So thank you, worship team. Thanks for coming down from, they came all the way down from Davis, aren't they? Isn't that awesome? So incredible. Well, hey, my name is Pastor Anthony. Today I am going to take you through a message called Finding Gold in the Grief. Oh, I got to watch that because I'm going to step right off the stage here. That could be bad. You'll see me on YouTube next week. So today we're going to talk about finding gold in the grief. And real quick, I want to give honor to my father-in-law. If you don't know, my father-in-law is the pastor at this church here. His name is Greg Wenschlag. So you may be new here, so you might have never seen a picture of him. So this is my father-in-law. This is my father-in-law right here. He's a handsome old fella. Just fantastic. So if we could just make sure to get Pastor Greg a copy of these slides. I really don't want him to miss the word of the Lord this morning. So, that's actually my backup plan to make sure I get asked back. So that's my father-in-law right there. This is a picture of my wife and son, Luke. My wife is here in the front row. She is amazing. We've been married for 6 years now, and, we have a beautiful little boy. This is Luke, and Luke is wild and crazy. He is the most loving and most psychotic little child you've ever met in your life. And he's moving into the terrible twos, man. He's getting crazy, but we love him to death. And he is like one of the greatest joys of my life. I love my family. So my wife, she actually grew up here. And so, you know, moving into this church and like really, you know, when we started dating, it was a little scary for me because she was like the princess who grew up in the pews of the church here. And I was kind of terrified to come around. But I think after 10 years, you guys are starting to warm up to me a little bit. And so I'm just glad to be a part of this ALAG family. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about grief. And I'm going to talk about finding gold in the midst of grief. Because there is so much that we can get out of a season of grief, out of a season of trials. And when I was a youth pastor, students would come up to me and they'd always tell me, "Hey, Pastor Anthony, I want to speak at youth group." And I say, "Okay, well, what do you want to talk about?" And literally every single time they'd come up to me and they'd be like, "Well, Pastor Anthony, I want to talk about trials in life. Trials." And like over and over and over, I'm like, dude, there's more to life than trials. Like we can speak about more things. But for some reason, that was the topic that God laid on my heart for this week. And for me as a youth pastor, having heard it so many times, it kind of pains me. But I hope that I can bring to you guys a fresh revelation of what God does in the midst of the trials that you guys go through in your life. And so would you do this? Would you pray with me this morning as we begin? Lord Jesus, I thank you. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are a good God. You're an amazing God. I thank you, Jesus, that you invite us into your presence. And God, I thank you too that you actually invite us into deeper places when we go through trials, when we go through pains, when we go through grief. God, you are inviting us into the presence of God to learn lessons, to grow in faith, to learn how to lean on you more. And I pray today, God, that you would be in this room. And God, I know that there are some people in this room right now that have an appointment with you this morning. God, I know that there are people that walk into this room that are sitting in these seats right now. And God, your Holy Spirit is going to start tugging on their heart. You're going to start drawing them in because there's something that you want to say to them. God, these are not just my words this morning, Lord. I pray that they would be your words. And I pray that the words of Jesus would come and that you would speak to your sons, you would speak to your daughters, how much you care about them and how much you love them in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Well, like I said, I have a son. He's 1.5 years old and he's the sweetest, little craziest little boy I've ever met in my entire life. And my son is getting to the no phase. Anybody ever had a kid that went through the no phase? Like pretty much anyone who's had kids has been through the no phase. And so my son is getting to this phase where he just wants to say no to everything. And so one day I pick him up and we go over to his changing table and I put him down on his changing table. And I lay him down and he looks at me and he goes, like in the most fatherly voice I've ever heard come out of a 1-year-old, he looks at me and he goes, no, 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 just like that. And I'm thinking to myself, like, he almost had me convinced for a second. I'm thinking to myself, okay, who wears the pants in this relationship? And I was changing his diapers so he wasn't wearing any pants and I was the only one wearing pants. So that was a great reminder to me, like, hey, you're the dad in this relationship. You're the dad, take control. But my son in that moment, he didn't want a diaper change. Now we know in life, there are necessary evils. There are necessary pains that we go through. We go through seasons of life where we have to go through pain, and the option of not going through that pain is actually worse than the option of going through that pain. And see, what God wants to do in our life through our trials is he wants to take us through necessary pain. There is a pain that as you walk through it, it is better than the option of you not walking through it. But I think we get tripped up sometimes because we think that God is beating us up. But I want you to hear this. God allows trials in your life not to beat you up, but he comes to build you up. There's a reason for the pain that you go through in your life. There was a man, and he was working at a Korean airport. And as he was at this airport in Korea, he was a janitor, and so he's taking out the trash, and he comes to this one particular trash, and he goes to lift it up, and that trash was extremely heavy. And he's trying to get it out, and he can't. And so what he does is he digs down to the bottom of that trash, and as he digs down, he pulls out $330,000 worth of gold bars out of the trash can. That is the favor of God right there. Some of you are like, I need to quit my job and do whatever that guy's doing. So he goes and he digs through this trash and he finds $330,000 worth of gold bars. Now, I want you to think about this. That day, there were thousands of people that walked through the airport. There were so many people that walked by that trash can, but when they looked at that trash can, all they saw was trash. But this man, as he dug through the trash, he actually found gold because he had the ability to look past the trash and see what was inside of it. And see, I believe that that is the same thing that God wants us to hear when it comes to our trials. God brings us through trials, and so many times we look at the trials, we look at the pain, the grief that we go through in life, and all we see is trash. But God says, hey, if you look a little closer, if you look a little closer, there's gold inside of that pain. I'm doing something, I'm speaking something to you, and if you dig deep down, you'll hear my voice. See, we as Christians, we have two stories. There are always two stories that are playing out in the life of a Christian. There's your earthly story. You got fired. You can't make ends meet. You've got a son or a daughter that's going through a difficult moment and they're walking away from the Lord and it's frustrating. That is your earthly story. But I want you to know that that's not the full story. God is trying to help us buy into the second story, which is the spiritual story that's happening in our life. Because I want you to know that you didn't just lose your job. God was building character in you. God was ripping you away from the sin that's going on in your life. God was trying to get you to lean on him in faith even more. And so when we go through those trials, I want you to hear this. It is not just the earthly story, But there's a spiritual story that if you would dig past that feeling of pain and that feeling of sorrow, and you would look and ask the Lord, God, what are you doing in this season? You would find that there's actually gold in the grief. See, here's what I think trips us up too much. I think we as human beings, we get so overcome with emotion. Right? We're so controlled by our emotion. We get so distracted by our emotion that what we do is when we go through a difficult season, sometimes we write off our season because of the emotions that we're feeling in the season. We judge the season of our lives based upon the emotions that we're experiencing in that season rather than judging the seasons of our life based upon what God is doing in them. And so what happens is we get robbed of joy. Because we go through our season, we say, man, this is a depressing season. This is a hard season. This is a season where I feel lonely. But it's not just that. That's the earthly story. But the spiritual story is God is drawing you in. And I want you to hear this morning, that I have learned more and grown more in the seasons of grief than I ever have in seasons of peace in my life. God is doing something in the midst of our grief. And what you can do is if you dig through that trash and you find the gold in those seasons, if you find the gold, you're going to find joy. In any season that you go through in your life, you're going to find the joy of the Lord in the midst of that season. And I know some of you, you've been through hard things, and it may be a little bit harder for you to dig through that trash because the trash is a little deeper. But I want you to understand that God always, always offers you joy in the midst of grief. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at two necessary things that will help us find joy in the grief, that will help us find gold in the grief. So here's part one. It's called good grief. Everybody say good grief. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to read through 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Let's read these words. It says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while..." All right. Oh, I just didn't know you guys are repeating along with me. Let's read it together. Let's do that. Threw me off a little bit there. We don't do that at my church. Okay, let's start from the top then. Let's get in sync. "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed." Oh, Christ. Yeah, I left out the Christ. See, that's why I'm always afraid that I'm going to like mess it up because I'm not a great reader. Okay, so here's what we see here. We see grief, and here's what we see. Peter, he's speaking to a persecuted church. He is writing a letter to a church that is scattered around the world, and these people are going through persecution. They're going through economic persecution, physical persecution, social persecution. I mean, these people are going through it. And here's what he says. He says, you're going through grief, but he says, here's the reason for that grief. He says, that grief is here to prove the genuineness of your faith. And when the genuineness of your faith is proven, then it brings glory, praise, and honor to Jesus when he's revealed. All right, so I'm gonna take you to another verse. You guys don't have to read along with me. Let me read this one quickly through. Stay alert. Just watch out for your great enemy. And he kind of comes at it from a different angle because he's talking about the same grief. He says, your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Now, we saw that in the last verse. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. So he comes at it from a different angle. Here's what he says. He says, you're going through a season of grief, but I want you to know that the devil is behind it, that the devil is there. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take hold of your faith. So you've got seasons of grief. You've got faith being the topic of those seasons. And the one who's behind it is the devil. Now, here's in essence what he's saying. And let me just boil it down to a point. It's this, that grief is an indicator of a battle. Grief indicates that there's a battle going on. It's like that check engine light that comes on your car. You know, you're driving and all of a sudden, ping, and your heart sinks a little bit and your wallet feels a little bit lighter for a second because you know there's something wrong with your car. See, in that moment, you know that there's something wrong. And in the same way, when grief comes up in our life, when trials, when tribulations come up in our life, it's an indicator that there is a battle that's happening and the devil is behind it. But here's the battle, because battles are two-sided, right? The devil is coming to steal your faith, and the Lord is coming to strengthen your faith. That's the battle. And that's the battle that's going on. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? I want you to think about this. How important this is. That God will allow you to walk through a season of pain and a season of suffering that's not necessarily in His will, but He will allow it because your faith is that important. God will allow you to walk through a season where you're going through grief, you're going through hardship, but you're His son and His daughter. And we know in Revelation, God is very clear that His will is to wipe away every tear from your eye. But in this moment, He allows you to go through pain. Why? Because the faith that you receive in a season like that is so important that He wants you to go through that pain. I mean, think about it. You do this with your kids, right? Like they come home and they tell you something that their teacher did to them in the classroom. And you get all angry and you get all amped up and you're like, oh my gosh. And the dads in the room are like, you're playing out images in your head of like beating someone up. And you're like, dude, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm going to protect my child. And the moms are like, I'm going to write a strongly worded email to that parent. You know, both are equally as terrifying. But you're ready to go out and you're ready to protect them from the pain that comes. But you stop in that moment and you allow them to walk through that journey because you know that the character and the lessons that are happening in that season of them walking through that journey, you know that that character is more important than you coming in and taking away the pain. That makes sense? And so God allows us to go through pain in our life. And not only does God allow us to go through pain, He actually risks us losing our faith in that moment. And we're going to read a story about when that happens, okay? Let me back up. I'm sorry. So you've got this battle that's going on, right? You've got this battle over faith. And faith is so valuable that God will allow you to go through pain. Now, here's why. Because faith is the most valuable commodity that we have in the kingdom of God. It's by faith that we receive anything that we receive in the kingdom, right? We receive in faith the salvation of God. We receive in faith the grace of Jesus. In faith, we receive the love of Jesus. If you are to receive anything in the kingdom of God, it is by faith. And so faith becomes the most valuable commodity that we have in the kingdom. And that's why God will allow you to go through seasons of hardship and pain and trials. He'll allow you to go through it because faith is so important. It is so vital. You need to hear this. The faith that you have in Jesus is number one. And it's so important that the devil and the Lord are battling over it at the same time. Your trust in Jesus. Your trust in Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that through this season, that God isn't just sitting back allowing you to go through pain, right? Here's what it says. It says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So here's what it says. It says that God is shielding you in that season. Now that word shielding, that's like a military term. It really is. It's somebody who's in the military that's on watch. And so what this says is that God, while you're walking through the pain, while you're walking through the grief, God is on military watch over your life. Which means if the devil ever oversteps his boundaries, just for a moment, God is willing to wage war for you. God is willing to come after you. He's shielding you. He's watching out for you. And I know during those seasons, it's so hard because we feel like, God, you're so far from me. God, you don't see me here. But God is watching over you. So check this out. So the person that's writing this is Peter. Excuse me. So Peter, we know Peter goes through like this season of testing. You guys remember when Peter denied Jesus three times? He goes through a season of testing himself. And it's very reminiscent of what he writes in 1 Peter. So I want to read this. This is the beginning verse where Peter is going through these trials. Here's what it says. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, I want to pause here. Think about how terrifying this is, okay? So Simon is coming up to Jesus, and Jesus is like, hey, by the way, Simon, check this out. So the devil has asked for you by name. Like, if I was Peter, I'd be like, who? oh, the devil, you know, the devil that, yeah, you know, like the pitchfork and the tail and the, you know, Metallica songs played backwards and Halloween, you know, like the devil. And if I was Peter in that moment, I'd be like, okay, cool, I'm going to go cry now. You know, like I'd be afraid for my life. And the devil is asking to test Peter and the disciples in this moment. Now, that word sift is, it's a farming term. It's basically like to test, to see which ones are genuine, which ones are not. And then it says this, Simon, I pray for your faith, right? Now, that's the topic that we're talking about here. That's what's on the line when we go through these seasons. And then it says, when you've turned back, which means Peter's faith at some point, it failed. And we know it did, right? The people came up to him and he denied Jesus three times. And he says, okay, when you're done backsliding and you come back to me, strengthen your brothers. Now, I think this is very interesting. And I was reading through my notes last night, and this is what I got out of this. Peter had to go through the testing of his faith in order to have the character and the faith that it took in order for him to be able to strengthen his brothers. It took him going through a season of testing. And I want you guys to understand that it's in these seasons of grief that leaders in the kingdom of God are built. That is the birthplace of leaders in the kingdom. If you do not go through grief, if you don't go through a season of testing and hardship, then the Lord cannot entrust you with kingdom influence. And so some of you, you ask yourself, God, why have you laid so much grief on me? God, why is it me that feels the weight and the pressure of life just bearing down on me? And I want you to understand this. Maybe God is taking you through a season of grief, and God has taken you through exceptional grief in your life because you have an exceptional calling. Because your job is to strengthen your brothers and sisters. And there are brothers and sisters out there that need you to go through the faith testing and go through that season of grief in order that you come to the other side. You have the strength now to come back and to strengthen them. There are other people that need you to go through this season. And leaders are built in that season of grief. Now, Peter, he goes on, he says, but Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and to death. He's like, come on, Jesus, like I'm ready to go back to prison. Let's go. And Jesus answers, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Now, I think it's interesting. Peter here, he's like, he comes back at Jesus. He says, Jesus, I'm ready to go to prison with you. But here's the thing. The devil wasn't testing his passion. He was testing his faith. And we all have passion. I mean, we have passion, don't we? But see, what God wants to know is, do you trust me? And it's only in seasons of hardship that trust is brought to the surface and you see who you really are and before God. And so God wants to take you through these seasons, not where he tests your passion, but where he tests your faith. Do you trust me? So my wife and I, we've been going through, I would call it a season of testing. We've been in youth pastors for 7 years. We've been at the same church, Valley Christian. We've been there for 7 years. We've loved it. We started from the bottom, and God started promoting us. And we had gotten to the place where we were really comfortable in life. We had a lot of good things going for us. I mean, we were great youth pastors with great reputations. And we had a good salary. We had bought a house in Pleasanton. And everything was going great. And then the Lord drops this on my heart. Anthony, I want you to go. And I want you guys to go and plant a church. And I said, where, Lord? And he said, Manteca. And I said, sweet Jesus, why would you ask me to go there, right? But that was what God laid on my heart. And so then we get a phone call from a friend. And he says, hey, I wanted to ask you, are you guys ready to plant a church? And we said, we'll pray about it. And we came back 2 weeks later. We said, yes. And so 2.5 months ago, we moved out to Manteca. And this process has been grueling. It has been like some of the hardest months of my life. We moved out there and I didn't have a job. Now, we had made some money because we lived in the Bay and then we moved out to the Valley and homes are a little cheaper out there. And so we were doing okay, but I didn't have that steady source of income. But I didn't realize how much I was relying on that to feel safe until that was taken away from me. And so I remember just praying. There was a Wednesday right before we were about to move. And I'm praying. I'm saying, God, please, would you please give us money? Like, we don't have a steady source of income. I need to know that we're okay. And God reminded me in Matthew chapter 6, he said, Anthony, don't worry. You've got a Father in heaven that's looking out for you. And so I said, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And I got to tell you, in those seasons, I was wrestling so hard. But that afternoon, I go to work and I reach into my mailbox. And as I reach in, I pull out an envelope and I open up this envelope. And inside, there's a letter. And it's from an anonymous person. And on the inside of that letter, there's a check for half a year's salary that same day. There's been several times where I'm freaking out. And I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And a friend will pick up the phone. He'll call me and say, Anthony, this is going to sound really weird. But I had a dream last night. And in the dream, God told me to tell you that you don't need to worry about a thing. That he's going to take care of every single thing. I had somebody in a service one time in the last 2.5 months. I spoke at a high school chapel. And he said, Anthony, God put it on my heart to write out a $500 check for you. But I didn't do it that day. And then the next day, I get a $500 check in the mail from a friend of mine. And God told me that $500 belongs to you. And he gave it to me. And it's just constantly God showing me, like, hey, don't rely on the resource. Rely on the one who provides the resource. Rely on me. And it's been grueling. I mean, I even got to the place where I was like, okay, God, I feel like I need a job. And I don't believe it was God's will for me to get a job in that season. So I get a job. And I work it for 3 weeks. And it was terrible. I mean, it was horrible. People treated me terrible. And then at the end of those 3 weeks, I had put in my time. I had worked really hard for these people. And at the end of those 3 weeks, they let me go. And it was incredibly unjust. And I go home and I had to tell my wife that. I had to look her in the eye and say, babe, I lost my job today. And it was horrible. I felt like a failure. But what I want you to hear is that in the midst of all of that, right there, in the midst of all of that, the Lord was speaking to me. God was building my faith. In the midst of all of that, God was tearing away just parts of my character that didn't belong to Him, that didn't look like Him. In the midst of all of that, God was doing something. He was up to something. And I got to tell you, I would not trade these 2.5 weeks for anything, because the faith that I found in Jesus is way more valuable than the comfort that I found in life. When life was uncomfortable, that's when God was pushing me closer to Him. And when I found Him, I found gold. I found everything that I could have ever wanted in life. I find in the presence of God. I find satisfaction. And I'm to the place in my life right now where I cannot wait to run into the arms of God every single day. I cannot wait to wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, I'm yours. But I got to tell you, at the beginning of this 2.5 months, that's not where my heart was at. The reason I'm at the place that I am today is because there was pressure in my life. There was grief in my life. There were moments where I wanted to give up, but God showed me, hey, look, I'm going to be faithful in every moment of your life. And so it would be easy for me in those moments to look at all the emotions that I'm going through and get my eyes fixed on the wrong things. But you got to hear this, that the key to enduring trials in your life with joy is keeping your eyes focused on the right things. It's not, what am I going through? It's not, what am I dealing with? It's not, what kind of heaviness, what kind of grief, what kind of trials can I just sink into? No, God wants you to keep your eyes focused on the right things. Because there's another story that He's telling in the midst of all of that. God is saying you can experience joy in the midst of your pain. And I think oftentimes what we think is we think that only one emotion can sit on the seat of our emotions in life at a time. So we think, oh, I'm going through a season of grief, and so I have to wait for joy. But what I want you to hear is that you can experience grief and joy at the same time. This verse is very clear about it. Here's what it says. Oops, that's my wrong slide. Joy is a companion of proper grief. Man, that was going to hit so hard, too. I was going to present that. It was going to be so good. But see, joy is a companion of proper grief. Let me make sure I'm on the right place. Oh, apparently, I messed up. That's my fault. But here's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You greatly rejoice, though you suffer grief. So what that means is that joy and grief can sit on your heart at the same time. They both can be there. And in fact, I believe that joy is a companion of proper godly grief. And you have to understand, like, if you are going through your grief and you're going through your trials in the way that God wants you to go through them, you will travel through a season of grief with joy in your heart because you fix your eyes on the right things. So my son, And I want you to get this picture in my head. So I'm going to tell you the story. So my son, he's going through this period of his life where he just wants me around all the time. And he wants my wife to play with him at all times. And so he's got like this little table that sits in the corner, and there's like 6-inch chairs like hovering above the ground. And he'll grab my hand, he'll come up to me and be, "Daddy, sit. Daddy, sit." And it kind of sounds like he's swearing, but it's actually really cute. He goes, "Daddy, sit. Daddy, sit." I'm like, "Oh, son, oh, okay." And he literally will pull me by the hand, and then I try to squat down. I'm like 200 pounds and, you know, try to squat down on this little tiny chair, like praying that it won't break. And it's like leg day, so it's really hard, but I'm a good dad, so I'm committed, right? So I'm trying to sit down in this little chair, and he'll sit down right next to me and just look at me. Now, the reason that I tell you that story is that whole process of him dragging me by the hands and sitting me down, I believe that grief for a Christian comes dragging joy by the hand every single time. Now, there are some seasons where it's harder than others because we go through a lot of grief. And some of us, we go through really difficult grief. But grief will always drag joy by the hands. Okay, so part number two is this: strong hope. Strong hope. Not only do we need to have good grief in order to find gold in the trials and gold in the grief, we've got to have strong hope. So let me read this verse to you. Here's what it says. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." And I'm gonna skip down to the bottom. It says, "Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials." And then it says at the beginning of verse 6, "In all this you greatly rejoice." Now, what do you greatly rejoice in? You greatly rejoice in the fact that you have a hope and you have an inheritance. And that's what he says. What he's trying to do is he's trying to get the disciples to see what lies ahead. Because the best way to go through the problems of today are to fix your eyes on the promises of tomorrow. When you're going through problems in the moment, you've got to fix your eyes on what is your hope, what inheritance lies ahead for you. Because what you're going through right now, it may seem hard, but what lies ahead is so beautiful that it overcomes any difficulties, any trials, any grief that you go through right now. If you would just fix your eyes on the future. And so that's what Peter is trying to do with these disciples. He's saying, "Hey, check it out. Tomorrow is beautiful." You guys probably remember The Little Orphan Annie. You guys remember? Yeah, 1938 was the very first time that this movie came out. And she sang this song. I was thinking about singing it for you, but I decided against it just now. "The sun will come out." Just now. It was a game time decision. "The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun." Right? You guys know the song. Now, what is she saying? She's like this little orphan that's going through these difficult moments, and she's being treated terribly. But what is she looking to? She's looking to tomorrow, because she knows that, hey, if tomorrow is good, then I can endure what I'm going through today. She's always fixing her eyes on the future, and that's what Peter is trying to do with us. And what he does is he actually paints a very vivid picture of what tomorrow looks like, because the more beautiful tomorrow becomes, the more strength that we have to endure today. The more beautiful of a picture that your hope of hope that you have, the more strength that you have to endure today, because tomorrow becomes more and more beautiful. My son and my wife and I, we went to Denver a few months back. And we went to Laura's aunt and uncle's house, and it's right outside of Denver. And so we're staying in the basement of this house. And this was the time where my son really liked basketball. Like, that was his favorite word. He'd say it all the time. Basketball, basketball, basketball. Like, I know. It's okay. And we were down in the basement. And Uncle Christopher, he's got this basketball that's held, like, in a little plaque. And it's right above where Luke can reach. And when he looked at it, all he saw was a basketball. And he goes up to it and he goes, "Basketball? Basketball?" And he looks at me and he goes, "Daddy, basketball? Basketball?" I'm like, "Son, you can't play with that basketball." Because it was signed by the entire Denver Nuggets team. All right? So, like, I told him, like, "Luke, look, this thing is worth at least $15. Like, it's the Nuggets. Right? So, like, you can't touch that basketball. But all he saw was a basketball. But I'm like, it's so much more than a basketball. And Peter, he looks at our hope and he looks at our inheritance. He says, "Look, it's more than just a hope." Here, I want you to look at the adjectives that are used here. It is a living hope. It's a hope that's alive. It's a hope that's not dead. It's a hope that you can trust in. It's a hope that has a beating heart. It's constantly there. There is a living hope that's available. And then it says this. It says, we have an inheritance that cannot perish, spoil, or fade. Which means we have a hope that doesn't die. We have a hope that doesn't go bad. And we have a hope that doesn't fade, which, like, you guys have probably had clothes where you washed them and over time they were like one color and now they're not quite as vibrant as they used to be. Well, what that means here is that the inheritance that you have, you received when you came to Christ. Jesus gave you salvation, right? Now, when you go to heaven and you receive the fullness of your inheritance, it will be as vivid as day one. And way down the line in eternity, after you've been in heaven for a long time and you've been worshiping Jesus, guess what? That inheritance will be as special on that day as it was during the day that you stepped into heaven. That is the inheritance that we have. So he's painting us this beautiful picture. Look, you have an amazing hope that's ahead of you. But you get so focused on the trials of today and the things that you're dealing with. Here's what he wants us to do. He wants us to contemplate our hope. Just contemplate it. Think about it. How much do you think about the hope that awaits you? How much do you think about Christ coming into your life one day? And like, just you step into heaven and you experience the fullness of God. How much do you think about that? I mean, I cannot wait till the day that I step through the gates of heaven and I get to meet my Savior. Do you think like that? Do you think about it? Because what we are experiencing now is just going to be a distant memory. When we step through the gates of heaven, we're going to experience so much joy, so much of the love of Jesus that we're not even going to think about what we're dealing with today. Your joy is directly tied to your ability to comprehend the future that awaits you. The amount of joy that you experience now is directly connected to your ability to comprehend the future that awaits you in heaven. So today, I want you to think about what awaits you. You have an incredible inheritance that awaits you. You have a living hope that awaits you. God allows trials in your life not to beat you up, but he comes to build you up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And they're going to play one last final song. And I wanted to close with this. This is what God put on my heart. And I want to share this with you. So this morning is all about grief. But I think that some of us have failed to experience grief. I mean, we've experienced the wounds, right? Like, you go through your life and you experience wounds. But I think that some of us, we never feel the grief. We never feel the emotion of pain as we go through that wounded season because we are either too guarded, too religious, or too busy to experience it. Now, we're too guarded. Which basically means, like, there are moments in our lives where we feel pain, but we don't want to express it. We don't want anyone else to see it. And so we put our walls up. We stuff it down because we think that that's weakness. But I want you to understand that in the kingdom of God, weakness is strength. And so if you lean into that grief, it will be so much better for you. And some of you, you haven't stepped into it because you're like, oh, I'm a man. Like, I can't feel pain. Well, guess what? Your heart is going to be hard because you're going to spend your entire life trying to hold back the emotion of that wound. Some of us are too religious. We think that when we come into the kingdom, it's going to be all joy all the time. But I want you to understand that we're human. We get wounded. And in fact, Peter, he had no issue with people going through grief. In fact, he encouraged them when they were going through grief. Here's the thing. In the kingdom, grief is part of the process. And so if we're too religious because we think, oh my gosh, if I had faith in Jesus, then I wouldn't mourn, I wouldn't cry. Look, that is not biblical. God wants us to have that soft, tender heart. And then the last one is this, and I think I would say that a lot of us are really, really have a tough time with this, especially in the Bay Area. We're too busy. We go from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And we never think about what's wounding us inside. We never have a moment to just stop and contemplate and think about the pain that we're going through. And here's the thing. If you experience the wound, but you don't experience the grief, and you don't accept it and allow those emotions to overtake you and allow yourself to come before the throne of Jesus and process that before the Lord, then you have all of the pain and none of the benefits. You don't enter into that process because the process begins with you grieving, with you letting it out. And so today, I want to encourage you, as we just close our time together today, I want you to think about the grief that you're going through. Take a moment to listen to the pain in your heart. And I know that, I hope I'm not going too long today, but I want you to just take a moment where you look at yourself and you look at your heart and you think, God, what are you saying in this pain? God, what are you speaking to me? Why did you bring me through this? Because I think in the midst of that, God is going to speak. And He's going to tell you the reason that He's brought you through this. And you're going to find gold in the grief. So would you stand with me? I want to pray for you as we close this time together today. And I'm just going to pray that the Lord would come in and that we would just take a moment where we would step into the presence of God and we would allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Lord Jesus, today I pray the presence of God would come. Lord God, we love you so much. And God, everything that you have for us, we want. God, whether that's good times, whether that's bad times, whether it's seasons of grief and sorrow, or whether it's seasons of pure joy, God, we want everything that you have to give us because, God, it is all a part of the process. God, our life is not about being happy. It's about looking like you. It's about worshiping you. God, it's about living a life where we offer a life that is pleasing to the Father. And God, I know that I cannot be that until I've walked through the process of you testing my faith. God, I pray right now for each and every person that's listening. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would come in. God, that you would lay yourself upon their heart. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would come in and that you would reveal wounds, pain that people aren't dealing with. God, issues that people are running into that they're trying to ignore. God, I pray that you would bring them up. And today, God, I pray that you would speak to them about it. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, that today we get to process with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.